honored today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. Well, looks like most of the people, there's still some I know didn't make it. Most of the people made it on time. Good job, guys. I'll get an A plus. An A plus today. Time change. It was like, oh, this morning. And I do get up early, but I mean, you know, an hour earlier than early is it's rough. It was like, oh God, is that the right time? Oh, when I did the clock last night,
tomorrow's
on the side of our bed,
now.
It was like,
tomorrow's
this is not right. It is. Yeah, this is not right. I'm losing an hour in a flick of a second. Not if that much. Lost that whole hour, you know. But praise God. So thank you for being here today. Praise God. I want you to turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy chapter 1. This is a familiar verse. To the child of God, to us. Chapter 1, verse 7. Very familiar. Now you have the Apostle Paul was writing to young Timothy. Okay. Young Timothy was young, and Timothy had been with Paul, and Paul was just grooming him to preach the gospel. And so, you know, in writing to Timothy, that first and second Timothy, he was trying to tell him some things. Because he was young, he knew that Timothy would be going into different places, getting cooler in here. It feels better, y'all. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize something was wrong. But you know, young Timothy was getting to the place where Paul was just grooming him in preaching the gospel and doing things with him. And Timothy would follow Paul many places. But the Apostle Paul that knew that one day Timothy would go on his own as far as by himself or with someone else and preach the gospel. And one day, because of such a big age difference between Paul being an elder and Timothy being young, probably in his 20s or so, that one day the Apostle Paul would die and Timothy would be here, you know, taking on maybe the mantle of Paul and preaching that gospel. And so as he's writing to Timothy, the Holy Spirit says this. He says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That means we're not crazy. Sound there. Sound in the word of God. That we know what we believe and we stand firm on the rock of the salvation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But fear, see, fear is something, and there's two, I'm going to talk a little bit about two different types of fear. Fear that comes upon mankind, maybe when they have to do something, they get fearful. But they also the other aspect of it where God talks about we are to fear God. And they're totally different. They're totally different. The same word, F-E-A-R, but yet totally different in aspect towards our lives, towards situation. It says is that God, we know God, has not given us a spirit of fear. That means it's a spirit that tries to attach itself to human beings to come in and make us fearful of things. We cannot walk around being so scared about everything in this world that we do nothing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know this. The word says that Jesus is coming soon. We cannot be fearful of man and what they say and what they do towards Christians. Let me tell you, there are people out there that hate us as Christians. Christian means what? Christ-like. And they want to bring fear to the Christians. God says we're to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world, because he's coming soon. We're to herald forth the gospel. We're to herald forth that Jesus is the way and that Jesus is the only way. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, you know, there may be healthy fears. You know, I would never jump off of a building 100 stories high. That's a fear, huh? Never would do it. Yeah. Probably wouldn't even go up the elevator, you know? You know, that's a healthy fear of staying out of trouble. You know, yesterday I was talking to this elderly lady, and she was talking about, she lives by herself. She's 93 years old. Lives by herself, still drives in the city, whatever. She said she sat down in her chair, and she looked down on the carpet, and she said, I saw this little thing on the carpet. She said, what is that? Said it was maybe this long, you know, very thin, like almost like as thin as a pencil. So she said, after a while, she said, man, I need to pick that up, you know. So she got up and she went to pick it up. And she said, when I went to pick it up, she said it started to move. She said, I am deathly afraid of snakes. Deathly. But she said, I was so mad he was in my house. So she said that, 93 years old, she sees it go under her recliner. 93 years old, she takes that recliner and flips it over. She said, I can't find it. She said, I'm not going to sit on that recliner knowing he might be in the chair. So she looked all over, she couldn't, and finally she sees it curled up on something in back of the recliner, something a little ways from the recliner. So she said, what am I going to do? She said, I won't sleep. There's no way. She said, I'm going to have to leave and go to my son's house. So she said, I thought for a while, she said, oh no, I'm not leaving. She went in her kitchen. She said she got a big butcher knife. Now this is only about this long, she said, as thin as a pencil. She said, that's how small it was, just curled up. She said, I took that knife and just started killing it. She said, I chopped it as much as I could chop it. And then she said, she got it on some paper or something, whatever it was. And she said, I went to the toilet and threw it in and flushed it many times. And she was saying when she was younger, how she was cleaning out some bushes and stuff, and she went to grab, like she thought it was a stick, and it was a big snake. She said, I got so scared, she said, I ran. She said, I ran, and I ran, and I ran. And she said, my husband came after me. And she said, I couldn't even speak or talk, because she said, I was so scared. She said, the next day, my husband took me to the doctor. I was so scared. Now, she said, that was a long time ago, but that's a fear of snakes. You know what I'm saying? There's fears, and some are good because, you know, if you fear something in that aspect of it, it keeps you safe. Walking in an alley alone, anybody is not good, a woman or a man, nowadays. I mean, you know, and there's certain places that, you know, that we should be attentive to, that we don't do, because there is maybe a little fear that maybe God has put in there. But when he says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, we as Christians don't have to fear the things of the spirit as far as evil spirits. We don't have to fear those things. We don't have to fear those things. We don't have to fear, you know. We have to get to a place as Christians that if God calls us to do something, that fear doesn't stop us. Oh, huh? One of the greatest fears in all the earth is the fear of speaking in front of people. Because you think about mistakes you're going to make. But God thinks about how much you're going to be a blessing to people. And how as we speak His word, that the Spirit of God goes behind that word and penetrates our hearts by the Spirit of God. We cannot allow fear to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. How many times maybe God has spoken to your heart to go to your neighbor and bring them something or help them with something or go knock on their door and say, I've heard you had surgery. Can I pray with you? And you think about, oh, they're not Christians. What if they say no? And then you, maybe you don't do it. See, we got to get over those fears. We got to trust God. Yeah. And whatever it takes, we do it. We walk in and we knock on that door and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ because He's coming. And let me tell you, I think for the church itself, the whole body of believers, we don't think God's going to leave anybody. Because why? He's all loving. Why would He? He loves everybody. Yes, He does. He loves everybody. He sent His Son for everyone. But let me tell you, when that trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ comes upon that horse towards us, and He comes, the only ones at that first resurrection, well, if you want to put it that way, the first rapture of the church, because there's many of them in scriptures, will be the saints of God that have put their faith and trust in Him and no one else. And He's not coming for the lukewarm either. Ooh. In Revelations, it says in Revelations that He will spew out. That means He'll spit out the ones that are lukewarm. God says, be hot or be cold, whatever one. You might say, you know, somebody that's lukewarm doesn't mean they're hooping, hollering, and that could be. But it's just that they have faith in the cross of Calvary. That the power of Almighty God is stirring on the inside of them. The power of Almighty God is moving on the inside of them. That doesn't mean we're perfect, but yet God looks at us and He calls us perfect because of the blood of Jesus that covers all things upon our hearts and lives and takes all those sins away. See, we cannot allow fear to stop us from hearing forth the word. We cannot allow fear to stop us from visiting somebody. We cannot allow fear to stop us from doing the will of the Father upon the earth before He comes. I said, well, Pastor, what if I get afraid? Let me tell you. Every time before I step up there, there's butterflies. You know, you can ask Leonard with the Gideon. So, and you don't know what people are going to do when you get up there. I'm comfortable here, but when you get to another place or so, you know, you get, and I say comfortable, you just, you know, home folks. You know, it's different. Family, that's different than somebody else way down the road, you know. Or Otis or whoever, you know, speaking and getting up and praying, you know. And that's just stuff that we see. But, you know, when God calls you to do something, don't be afraid. I say, Pastor, why are you telling us this? Because I feel it in my spirit that God's going to start moving in your heart and life like never before. He's going to call you to do things. Step out. Step out and do it. Don't be afraid. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I am afraid? You get that scripture and you say, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, that I can do what you've called me to do. Because let me tell you this. Will you ever ask your child to do something that you know they can't do? I mean, you know, Isla Grace is 9 months? 10 months. How old is?
7 months.
7 months. And what's her name?
Caroline.
Caroline. Oh, shit. 7 month old and a 9 month old. I would never ask any of those to give them my keys and say, go drive. They would come and say, you know, Pastor Joe, I think there's a place we need to bring you. You know? You know, that's, we would never do that. But I can take my keys and say, Joe, he's 16. I'm going with you. Let's go drive. He's working. He got his permit. Ooh. Can't wait till he gets the license so we can say, go get milk, go get bread, go get, you know. And don't go to Abbeville. Go to Catholic. But you see, I would give keys to y'all and say, you know, go drive it because you're able to. I know you can do it. You know. Now, God knows more that's inside of us than what we know. And sometimes we think we can't do it. But God knows we can. God knows the things. And I'm telling you, this year, God is going to do a mighty work in each and every one of us. And he's going to ask us to believe him for the supernatural, for things that we never believed before. He's going to ask us to do things that need to be done so the glory of our Father could be shed abroad upon the earth. He's going to ask us to do things collectively as a church, number one. And also as individuals, as families, stand up for what is right. Stand up for what is true. Upon your jobs, people, stand up. Man, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. They don't care. They'll rock it all they want. Stand up for what's true. Stand up for what you know is right. In living a righteous life, a holy life unto our God. You know, the scripture says, and we're going to read it, we're not to fear man. What can man do to us? They can kill our bodies, but what they can't touch is the soul of a man at all. Who we need to fear is a God that can touch the flesh and the soul. That's who we fear. Fear is towards God. We're going to leave the other one. We know about fear towards man. We shouldn't fear man. But we are to fear God. And not in a fear of, you know, I can't touch him, can't do. But a fear in reverence, in honor, and glory unto him. That we fear God in reverence towards him. You know, as David brought the tabernacle, or the Ark of the Covenant, if you want, the Ark of the Covenant, as he brought it in, and found out how to do it in the offerings and the killing of the sacrifices. He found out how to do it. When he did it right, the blessings of God flowed into that place, people. Look, God is looking for people that will submit their hearts and their lives unto him. That will look to him and say, Father, what do you want? What do you want today, Lord God Almighty? But a fear and a reverence of him. My God, we have people walking in churches that could care less about honoring God. I mean, not you, because you honor God. I see it. But let me tell you, there are people out there that could care less. No reverence towards him. No respect towards him. No respect. But God is bringing back a fear in the church. Let me tell you. In the book of Acts, you remember these two people, Ananias and Sapphira? supposed to be? That was a man and a woman, okay? They set up a plan. Look, we're going to sell the training ground. They might get a little loud, don't worry about it, just put me out. They set up a plan. Can you imagine? These were supposed to be Christians. And I think they were at one time. They got in the church, and people were selling everything they had and giving it to the church because the church was in such need at that time. Such need. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they had this plot of land. And you know what? They concocted this idea. We're going to sell this land for X amount of money. Let's just put a money figure on it. The lot was $10,000. They're going to sell it. And they broadcast it throughout the church body and the pastor. That when we sell it, we're going to give all $10,000 to the church. And hey, that's an honorable thing. Whatever. Hey, that's up to you. And I know God gave them flexibility with that. But that's what they seen. And when they sold it, they only gave $2,000. And said, that was the price. That's what we got. And the husband came in the day before the apostles. And they said, did you sell this land for $2,000? And man, the husband said, yes. And all of a sudden, the man fell down dead. Let me tell you. And the men came in, wrapped him up, brought him out of the area. The wife comes in, and the apostle asks the same question. Did you sell this land for $2,000? Is that what you got? Yes. And he said, the same men that took your husband are going to take you. And she fell and died. That was it. You think they made it to heaven? People, let me tell you, if a few people died in church, there'd be a whole lot less people in church, but a whole lot of people that would fear what God could do. What God could do. You know, what God could do. I was talking to someone yesterday, and you know, she goes to a certain church out there, and she was just talking about how financially they just struggled severely. And I said, well, I said, you just need to keep praying and keep giving. And she said, you know, when people say they're going to give this amount and they don't, it hurts. You know, her brother called her one day and said, I just got some money, inherited or got whatever, and I want to give my tithe all this. She said, okay. She said, I can't go right now. They can't even bring it. But he said, tomorrow I'll bring it. But she said, you know what? I waited for tomorrow. And he didn't show up. I waited the next day. He didn't show up. So she said, I called him. She said, I thought you were coming to bring in your money. And he said, well, you know what? I have bills. I can't pay you. And I thought, wow. People, I'm talking to you're faithful. But I know this, as you are faithful, the blessings of God come. Let me tell you, if God would have done something to that young boy, that young man, let me tell you, fear would have came across that church, and let me tell you, that church would have been filled the next week, and everybody would have been giving their tithe into that church. It's true. But you see, this is how we do. We think we're living in a time of grace. The church age is just about over. The church age and grace is the same thing. It's basically the same. We're just about over with that. When Jesus returns, that church period is stopped. That grace is about to stop. You know, years ago I worked at Acadiana Ford, whatever it was at that time. And I remember somebody drove up with their vehicle and they had a battery in there. And you know how you used to have to scrape the little month and year, whatever it was. Well, she drove up with her vehicle, and this guy, which was one of the mechanics, was a Christian. So I just happened to come there, and we were looking, and they said, well, they checked it, you knew nothing about it. And she said, I'm not, just get one. You know, okay, whatever. And so this Christian mechanic says, but nothing scraped off. We can scrape off what we want, and you can get your battery cheaper. And he's like, I wanted to die. Now, she would have bought it back month, but hey, okay. People, look, we need to have the fear of God, a reverence towards Him. That, my God, we reverence Him, we honor Him, we love Him. That will keep us from sin. That will keep us from doing evil. I'm telling you, as we put our faith in Christ, we know we reverence Him. He's looking at us. We're to honor Him in all His ways and living a honorable life unto Him. Look at this. Talking about the fear towards the Lord, it says that involves respect and reverence for God. That we're to have an awe and a submission to His deity as far as creator and supreme being. My God, in who He is. Psalms 147:11 says, the Lord takes pleasure in them who fear Him, and those whose hope is in His mercy. That we have a reverence, that we have a respect for Him. We have an awe and a submission. The Bible says this. Don't forsake the assemblings of yourselves, for like some do, if people would reverence God and honor Him, they would be in church today. Now, I'm not talking about when you have to work or, you know, sometimes there's things that come up. But people, God says be in church. God says be where the man of God or woman of God is to preach the gospel unto you so that the power of Almighty God can be there. You see, do we believe His word? Do we stand upon it when He says, come together? Don't do like some are doing and staying home and not submitting to the word of God. Some of you say, well, it's too far. And often say, do you go to the mall? Do you go shopping in Lafayette? I don't want to hear it. It's like, come on now. Submit to the things of God. Because you see, this is what the devil wants. He does not want the church of the living God coming together. Because there's power in the unity of God's people coming together. There's the anointing and the presence of Almighty God that fills that place. To feel His presence, to feel His anointing, to feel His power. Because He is great and awesome and mighty is He. He giving reverence and awe and holiness unto our God this morning. God, the devil doesn't want us to come together. You know that? He doesn't want the church of the living God to come together. Because the last time the church of the living God come together, back then, was in Acts chapter 2. And the power of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, fell upon that church in the upper room. My God! We need to get to the things of God and do what God has called us to do. To declare the word of God. To declare who He is. And let the power of Almighty God fill our hearts and fill our lives in the things that He would desire for us to do. Almighty God is here. Praise God. Let me tell you, when those people got together in that upper room, it didn't start out with 120. They were left with 120. Pastor Muhammad, you were there. There were a lot more than 120. Who got the blessings? Who got filled with the Holy Ghost? The 120. The power of Almighty God fell upon that place, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God Almighty. That's the power of Almighty God. To fill those people, the promise of God promises things to his children. We just have to obey him and those promises. As we obey him, he brings about the word that he sets forth in his word towards his children. That's the power of Almighty God. That's him. That's him. He was an apostle. Holiness towards Africa. A reverence towards him. Saying, you are mighty. There's nothing impossible with your God. There's nothing that God cannot do except one, God. And the Lord. We can feel his name. We can feel him. And what he can do. And in who he is. The power of God. Well, I mean, is that a good thing? It says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, and walking, this is it, this is what the church did, people. They walked in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and were multiplied. We have another hour or so, but we can't leave anyway. You stuck? Oh my God, you stuck in church. Oh Lord, that's the best place to be. Good. Hey, we can order, who delivers in town? Nobody? Oh my God. Okay. I thought we could deliver, have the pizza delivered. Have pizza delivered. Don't leave with this evening. But it says this. They were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord. They had a holiness towards him. They reverenced him by holiness. By holiness. A reverence and an honor towards their God. And this is what happened. And in the comfort, the Holy Spirit comforted them. By the Holy Spirit. That means he walked and helped. And we're multiplied. It was multiplied. They feared God. The Holy Spirit came. And they were multiplied. That means people were saved. People got saved. The power of Almighty God came upon them. We need the power of God. God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Like many of you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit when we're on our jobs. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our churches. You talk to Lenny, he's told me horror stories about churches. I don't have the privilege of going to all kinds of different churches. Just can't. He does. For Gideon's. You want to know how dead they are? Let me tell you. Just talk to him. This wood has life. He has more life than a lot of churches. And I hate to say that, because that's not a good thing. Not good. It's the Holy Spirit that brings life to a church, brings life to a people. We need the power of Almighty God. People, we have prayer on Sunday mornings. I need you here. I need you. Come and pray and seek the face of God. We need God Almighty. We need him to move upon our own hearts, to move upon this community like never before. As we honor him in fear towards him, the Holy Spirit comes and comforts God's people. and moves me.
And people are multiplied. It's multiplied as far as people get. So
after the presence of God in Acts chapter 2, after that happened, it said the church multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. We need the presence of Almighty God, like never before. We need the power of Almighty God upon our hearts and upon our lives. If you would, I want to read this last scripture to you. If you would stand, please, if you don't mind. Before we leave, we have a few people we need to pray for. In Numbers chapter 6, it says this. Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 24. It says, and I pray this for you this week, that the Lord will bless you and he will keep you. That the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's what I pray for you as a church and the body of believers consistent. There's two people we need to pray for. One is Anna Coleman, who needs prayer. She's not doing well. And also, we need to lift up Ron Miller. I know he's not feeling well with his back. Both of them with backs and stuff. Both of them. So let's lift up our hands as we pray for these two. Lord Jesus, we come before you. And Lord God, I pray for these two that your power, your presence will be upon them. So Lord, your God, your word says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And Lord God, we lay hands upon them in the spirit, Lord God. On this Anna, we call her name out. Ron, we call his name out. Father, touch their bodies, Lord God, in Jesus' name. The power of the presence of Almighty God to be upon them, Lord, this day. Touch their lives and make them whole. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.